We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello and welcome to the True Faith Podcast. I'm Charlotte Robson, joined this evening, morning, afternoon, whenever you're listening, really, by Emil Franchi and Kyle Thompson. We are going to talk you through preseason, how we're feeling. We've done a few games now. I can't even remember how to speak about football. That's where we are. I can't wait until the season starts. We are on Patreon at £6.60 a month. We are also doing a live event next week if you're in or around Newcastle next Thursday night. Please do consider joining us. We'll be at the Stand Comedy Club, no longer talking about Newcastle United Comedy Club, with some excellent journalists and having a good panel discussion about how preseason has gone and taking your questions as well. Please do consider joining us. It should be a great night. All right. We're going to do a big view of where we are at for this season, how we're feeling. Emil called it preseason premonitions. Love it. Emil, we lost last night to Benfica. We've had another loss during the Austrian campaign, if you will. We haven't, look at me starting on a negative, we haven't signed any attacking players. Has that dimmed your enthusiasm? Has that sort of lessened the excitement for you?
Well, first of all, did anyone really think that a Portuguese team advertising it as the Eusebio Cup with a trophy presentation with red and white confetti tape, a red presentation podium, and a trophy for a man who never played for Newcastle was ever going to go to Newcastle United? I don't think so. So, look, losing to Benfica with 10 men, okay, it was disappointing. But it says much more about the mood of Newcastle United that we were actually cheering the fact that Joe Linton got sent off rather than bemoaning the result, if you like. I don't think anyone was really losing their heads last night. Of course, it is disappointing, but we're up against Champions League opposition there. We gave them a good go. It's very good to see Miguel Almirón scoring. I know we're going to probably talk about him a little bit later on. But look, the Mainz result as well, whilst that again is disappointing, we've had bad pre-seasons and gone on to have terrific campaigns. Let's not dwell too much on it. We're back at St. James's Park this week. Two games in 2 days, which is pure Eddie Howe energy. What I love is don't go to bed, lads. We're going to play all night. It's like that night Grand Prix that they do. You probably hear it in my voice. I think this is the best feeling anyone's felt, no matter where you are with the whole striker situation, the money situation, the lending off HSBC situation.
Very weird.
We've got excitement, and I don't think anyone will say I'm not looking forward to going back to St. James's Park this weekend. In fact, there'll be people like myself who are so sad that they can't get to those games at St. James's Park. A bumper pack. It's like Match Magazine giving away their table trackers in one issue. Come on.
It is. It's an interest. Like, you're right, Emil. And Kyle, I'll come to you and talk more about our sort of transfer strategy this or not strategy, but lack of attacking transfer. Because Emil there has talked a lot there about a lot of there from me. Sorry, Emil talking about, you know, how we've been on the pitch in this preseason. Obviously against Benfica, that's a kind of different kettle of fish. They are in a different, Norman and I did a podcast this morning for our patrons that, Norman was at the Benfica game last night, and he made the sort of sage point that Benfica are at a different stage in their pre-season. They're about to do a Champions League qualifier next week. It was a cup game for them. It was at their stadium. It's like it's a bigger thing. But having said that, we've got two games at our at St. James's Park this weekend that normally, like, people would be like, oh, I can't be bothered. Like, or maybe I'll go. And people are like buzzing to go. There's flag displays gonna be there. The atmosphere has not dulled much, I don't think, around this club. However, there is a bit of murmurs like, what's going on with the transfer stuff? Do you feel unenthused by transfer strategy? Do you think they've still got a couple of tricks up their sleeve? Are you bothered? Like, what's your feeling?
To be fair, I think going, you compare it to last season or even any of the last 14 year, where we're going into a season looking up, not looking down over our shoulder. Like, a good transfer window for Newcastle in the last 14 years is if we don't lose our best player and we're maybe bringing a couple of loan players, that's seen as successful. For me, bringing in Sven Botman was a fantastic signing. And yeah, there isn't a winger or a striker as of yet, but for me, if they're taking time to bring in the right one, then it's worth it. Because first game of the season against Notts Forest, we're probably not going to see Chris Wood. We're probably not going to see like Jacob Murphy and people that have been like below par in pre-season thus far. They're not going to be, they might be on the bench, but they'll not be playing in the starting 11. So it's depressing as it was when they have been on the field and haven't been performing. It's like, there's still an optimism of excitement, and like, I echo what Emil's saying, like, I'm not going to the matches this weekend, but I wish I was.
Yeah. And then, so I guess you're still feeling pretty confident about the season. I think both of you sound like you're feeling confident about this season, despite the couple of losses, despite the lack of a striker.
I wouldn't say it's a confidence. It is just looking forward to it. I think that, you know, going back to the end of last season, what we saw was that, like Kyle says, it's about looking forward to the game. And it's not the... Well, I guess we're going into this season without... I don't think anyone's got that fear of relegation. That is where it is. There is not so much the confidence of like, oh, we're going to smash the league. It's like, okay, well, we've got the remedy to whatever we need this year. But that in turn improves the mood massively. So with that around, that's not disappeared over the summer. We had a great end. Then the summer was just, it's continued. And you can see it mainly in the social media stuff that's coming out. You know, you're seeing more of the players, and you're seeing the celebrations for Emil Kraft getting a 1-year contract extension. That's unheard of. If you look back at a season ago,
oh my God, like, a year ago, can you imagine? Yeah, I'd have been like, you've done what? You've given him what?
Oh man, there'd be riots. There'd be bins on fire and everything. People punching horses. It's literally like, it's such a change. And it's little things like that show just how we are really feeling, despite the naysayers and the people who are like, oh, it's right. You're right to criticize. Of course you can, but come on, it's far better.
Yeah, it is far better. And I think you're right. And this hasn't been a negative, despite the mood that I've tried to create here, seemingly, this hasn't been a negative preseason. And we've seen some really encouraging stuff. And Emil, you touched on it before, particularly last night, particularly in, you know, the training stuff. Miguel Almiron appears to have been Eddie Howe. Kyle, a lot of talk about how great he was last night. What a difference in that player. Do you now think he's a realistic option? Because it was actually supposed to be Jacob Murphy starting last night. It was a last minute change, and Almiron came in and absolutely like bossed the game. Do you think off the back of that he's going to be a starting player this season?
For me, he's got to start against Nottingham Forest. I think with his performances in pre-season, and I know a lot of people were saying before last night, oh well, he's only scored against Burnley and teams of a lower division, but he proved it last night. Benfica are a Champions League side with a lot of very good players who are nearly match fit, as Emil says. They've got Champions League next week. I think he's been brilliant, and he looks reborn. Like many others have looked reborn. It's just taken a little bit longer for Miggy to wake up. And to be honest, as controversial as it may be, my front three, because he will go for front three against Forest, my front three would be Wilson, Fraser, and Miggy. And I put Maxi on the bench on the basis of pre-season, where Maxi hasn't been great and Miggy has been.
Yeah, you've got to reward that work ethic and the performance on the pitch as well. I wonder how controversial a statement that would be. I feel like Sam Max has been quite like quiet in this preseason, personally, both like on his socials and then sort of in these games. It's not like he hasn't, you know, just hasn't been a standout, has he? Emil, would you? Same question really about Miggy, like off the back of some of these performances, do you think that's it? He is now, he's not a bench player. He's not someone's injured. Let's bring him in. He's a starting player.
Yeah. Well, I think the key thing to remember is that Miggy did break our transfer record. I know that fees should never mean that anyone gets a start. Just look at Joe Linton, for example. You know, people thought there was a conspiracy theory because we'd spent so much. There was something in the contract that said he had to play every game. But certainly, maybe Miggy plays half a season because he was only half as much. But I'm really pleased because it'll calm a few people. You need to. I mean, I'm surprised that it was only really the end of last season us saying that Kraft and Joe Linton were the main turnarounds. But mentioned this on the transfer podcast that we do on Patreon. Do check it out. It's very good. Mm-hmm. We mentioned that now that Miggy has come forward, does this mean that we can afford to say, right, well, we will get a loan striker and another striker? Does this mean that, you know, the missing out of Moussa Diaby, do we not need this elusive winger that we've been going after? Or do we maybe put our money into a younger winger who can deputise Almiron if he's doing well, and then look at it that way? Because then you've got Jacob Murphy for lesser rounds of the cup. So I think each position really, not that they'll have natural people, natural positions in those positions, for example, left back and right back. But if there are at least three players per position, then it's looking good. I think Almiron's are still a solid choice, and there will be games where he will flourish. And we saw it in the late stages of the season. I mean, I still have dreams about the goal against Palace that I maintain. I think that was probably my goal of the season. I know there was plenty of others, and people say Bruno's little heel flick, but I think that the whole package of what Almiron did to reach the ball, get past his man, and then still finish, and finishing's been a big problem for him, that's something that he's clearly been working on. And last night, I can't remember the word exactly that Alex, other Alex, said in our chat, but it was something German, and it was something about the way that he finds his space. And if anyone was watching last night, everyone thought, yeah, Miggy is now able to do that whole like getting into space. A lot of people will still be in the headless chicken camp, and it'll take a while for people to see past that. But I think that he's thinking more about where he's going, and if we can get him running with purpose rather than just any old direction to get a little free kick, him and Trippier could be a real menacing prospect for Nottingham Forest on that first week. And you want to be really charging at teams like Forest, even though they are a similar team like that, because they will be, they're quite fast. I think that's a really scary prospect for teams that aren't ready for Almiron. I think he's been forgotten about. And since Jack Grealish said anything, look at what's happened to him. Thank you, Jack.
Yeah, you know what, Jack Grealish, slag off all our players, please. I agree. I think there are certain games for Miggy still. I think some games aren't suited to him. But I think Forrest is one, and I would love to see him start, particularly based on the form that he's been having. We are going to take a short break to hear some adverts. If you absolutely hate them, join us on Patreon. It's £6.60 a month, and you get so much content at the moment and forever. We will be right back.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Okay, it's part two of the True Faith podcast. You're still with Charlotte, you're still with Emil, you're still with Kyle. And we're talking pre-season going into the season and how we're feeling. Are we feeling good? The answer is yes, we're feeling pretty good. Let's talk off the pitch. We've talked a little bit about on the pitch. Everything seems absolutely great. Like, we have signed a CEO, we've signed legal counsel, things are changing with, you know, supporter stuff as far as we're aware. There just seems to be a lot more movement. This club had run on a skeleton staff for so long that now, like, people are getting actual jobs, and it's really nice. Kyle, how much does that matter to you? Does it affect the season to you?
It's bizarre because the club could have said, oh, Newcastle have appointed not Lee Charnley as CEO, and I would have been happy about that. it's just absolutely surreal, like, how much this club's changed, almost what feels like overnight. For it to be taking the right steps at Dan Ashworth, and we did a podcast on Patreon last week with the lad from America, who had great insight into how he ran Atlanta and how he built that from the ground up. So subscribe to Patreon. I'll get that a go. Emil did it, so I'm going to.
plugs as possible.
That was Adam Beckett, who joined us, who lives out in Minnesota, and follows MLS. He had some really great insight into Eels, so that was great.
That's translation for whatever I was saying, but honestly, it was fantastic insight. He looks like he knows what he's doing. Good fan interaction, and with someone like Dan Ashworth, you're gonna find players unearth gems like he managed to find at Brighton. So yeah, the future's looking bright and the future's looking good. I just can't wait to get into the swing of things next season. It's just nice to see a club wanting to do better and wanting to operate more than a team that might not get relegated or might get relegated. Like the difference between this year and last is it's like you couldn't be any more like yin and yang. It's mental.
It's nice, isn't it? Emile, how much does it matter to you to have that sort of Ashworth? We obviously must have paid something to release him from his garden leave clause. We have Eels in now. Craig Eels, is that his name? Craig Eels.
I thought you just meant like a collection of
bag
fish.
Bag of eels, yeah.
Bag of eels has been put in place.
Bag of eels.
That's what used to be in place, let's be honest. Yeah. They probably could have done a better job. Look, I always say I won't claim to be an expert on how to run a football club, nor do I really know the ins and outs. I'm only really getting to grips with that side of things. And you know, people will have opinions of how the football club should be run. I'm just happy to know that we are in some sort of good hands. And I feel as though that is where we are. And that was important. The Dan Ashworth stuff was really good. Really enjoyed watching his in-depth interview that the club did. The fact that we even got that says a lot. But in a way, I think that the biggest telling sign is the transfer stuff. Some people have alluded to it before. We have mentioned it, that now Newcastle are very much a closed off source. Things aren't necessarily getting leaked. They're going down the path of trying to do these transfers, you know, methodically and make sure that we get them done without saying like, oh, this could happen next week, because that adds to the frustration. So I imagine, and I'd like to think that that is helping, having those people in place. I don't know when Mr. Eels takes over or is in position, because you know,
can't take over from something that just didn't exist.
Yeah, and again we go down the usual thing of until they're holding the shirt or until they're getting photographed in front of the Newcastle United sign, because it'll happen. I think that all content is king at Newcastle at the moment with the team and the club. So we'll probably find out that he's taken up his role. I don't really know what the difference is between the director and the CEO, so that's the bit for me. But as far as we are as a brand, I know that that'll get expanded by CEO stuff, and you know, as Kyle said, that's all on the American side of things. If you look at the way that American clubs are promoted, having Newcastle United doing the same is a massive thing. So yeah, I mean, it's a comfort blanket. I think it adds to that positivity that I mentioned before. The fact that we are at least in a better position. We're not going into the season thinking, oh, this could really go wrong at any point. All of this positivity is going to come crushing down. It might. Strange things have happened, but yeah, I think that. It's that comfort knowing that things are going on in a club that was once a shell. Cogs are turning. We've seen the walls are getting painted now. Someone is ordering that, and someone wasn't allowed to order that prior to this new ownership. So that to me says it's like Willy Wonka when the lights come on. It means that something's going on in there. We don't really know what. We've got a team of umpa-lumpas or eels going around the stadium doing all these little bits and bobs, and things are getting done. And if we can see stuff getting done, that makes us feel like breathe a sigh of relief. And it same thing happened when the windows got cleaned. I know, again, that's not Dan Ashworth saying, paint the walls. Yeah, we are. And the bar gets higher as each positive thing takes place. So start small, end big, and then continue.
Wash the windows and then win the Champions League, like, and everything in between.
That's how Real Madrid did it.
That's how they did it. I guess, you know, a CEO from a business perspective, like, is overseeing the entire, I think director of football roles, they don't exist in every club in the Premier League. It's a very sort of European concept, it's a very exciting thing to have at our club. I love that we've like kind of gone down this route. I love that like we're building this structure. And for me, from a the sort of perspective of like everything being good off the pitch, things being built in this way, I feel really positive about that, because it feels like things are being done properly. It feels like what proper successful football clubs put into place in order to run properly and smoothly. And it's not just a battle for 17th anymore. It's not just a, like, what can we get away with? What can we sell? What can we do X, Y, Z? I think it's just, it's new and it's exciting. And for me, that feeds into the excitement I have about the season starting and what on the pitch is going to look like, because we got a taste of that towards the end of last season as everybody started getting better and we were winning games and our form was better and the mood seemed so much better everywhere. I think, you know, we can also talk, when we talk about everything seeming good off the pitch, mood is a really important one as well. Yes, we've got this sort of corporate structure starting to take place, but Kyle, these players seem to be like happy and athletic. Can you not? My cat is trying to get in on the podcast.
just loving the positivity.
He just loves it. The mood among the players and among pre-season and just this, I don't know if it's just that the social media editor is better now or is allowed to do whatever, or maybe it's a little bit of both, but for me that makes a massive difference as well about how excited I am, because these players are raring to go.
It's crazy. Like this time, like I know I keep referring to last year, but like this time last year, you wouldn't have had Ryan Fraser like winning a go-kart race and them showing it on social media. Do you know what I mean? Or them pedaling through like Austria with like replicating what Chola did on the training
ground all those
years ago. Like it's just a nice happy feeling. You can tell through the players, through the management staff. There's just a real vibrancy amongst the squad. Like everyone's on singing from the same hymn sheet, and everybody's like, can't wait for the season to start. You've got players raring to go from good training, from a good pre-season, and the fans are ready to go with displays and just all the positivity. Even the cat wants to get involved. It's that good. it's just everything based around Newcastle United at the minute is, can't wait for the season to start and can't wait to see what this club can do. It's just
a cross-species appeal. It is. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing is the right word. It's just class, isn't it? It's just class to be this invested in this club. It's been so long. All right. So last sort of talking point for us this evening, unless you guys have anything you're absolutely dying to share. We've got, at time of recording, we have not yet played Atalanta. We've got Bilbao, and then we've got a week, and then it's our opening game of the season against Forest at home. Emil, what do you want to see in between now, because we've got those two games, and Forest? What do you want to see?
More unity. I think that there's the classic case of the Twitter divide is back again. I guess that's any club. There's always going to be extremes and that is welcome. But I think a positive feeling going into that first game without thinking, oh God. I mean, look, Forest, do not underestimate them. But could Newcastle have asked for a better first fixture going into this start of the season at home to a newly promoted side? Yes, banana skin. Although you've got to look at it and go, what did we do at the end of last season? We were scared of going down to Norwich and we won 3-0. Wasn't the best performance, but we won. And it's like when we were at the start of the Pardew season. We started really straight out the blocks of that one at home, and momentum is key. Let's take what we had from the end of the season. Let's hammer that into it. And I know that the stadium is already going to be like that regardless. We know what it's going to be like. So I think just seeing an air of calm and confidence and excitement across the board is something I'd like. Of course, it would be helped if there's another signing in place. I'm starting to get a little bit itchy.
Are you? You are. One.
I am starting to get a little bit itchy. I know it's not vital. I know it's not the end of the world if we don't sign anyone else, but there's a big gap. And my main worry is not how the team will be going at that. It's the mood. It's like, oh God, if we don't have a signing, it's going to be like, oh, here we go again. When does the window close? Bang on the 31st of August this season. Is that back to normal, or is it just before then? Either way,
it's end of August.
End of August. So we're gonna have a couple of games before we actually get there. That's fine. I just think one more would do the trick. One more would boost positivity. If they are attacking, that's good, because the one thing we are struggling with is attackers. And I think any attacker, no matter if it's a winger or whatever, someone who can bring a little bit of excitement just to spice up that first fixture. They don't even have to play. Just knowing they're there is like, okay, get them on the pitch.
Well, this is true. We signed Bruno and then we didn't see him really play for... I mean, Eddie Howe takes his time with his new signings. He's not just going to roll them out because people want to see them. I mean, we were desperate to see that boy play. And, yeah. It was worth it when we really got to. The thing that really encourages me about our ownership and about... Just on what you're saying there, Emil, is that, yes, you're right, the window doesn't close till the 31st or the 1st or whatever it is. And we have a few games. Our ownership had an open window in January, watched us play Cambridge, and were like, right, we need to, like, they're open to, like, course correcting, right?
Yes, that's exactly it.
I don't think a striker was an absolute priority number one. And then we played Cambridge, League One Cambridge, and lost. And then they were like, right, we need to go out. And within days had identified and bought Chris Wood.
The best part about that is that Yasser Al-Ramayan went to the dressing room. And we don't know what he said, but can you just imagine if he's like, I've been watching Burnley quite a lot. We need Chris Wood. It's just like, buy him now. Didn't speak to the teams then. Chris Wood, I've identified a striker.
Amazing. It would be great if that was like his entire input and that's what happened.
That's his one thing that he tried, yeah.
You know what? Fine. It bothered Burnley, who were our relegation rivals at the time, and it got us another attacking option. No problem with that. Nice one, Yasser. Let's keep an eye on another team this season and we'll see what we can get in January.
Can I just say, Charlotte? One thing I will say, Charlotte, is that another positive of going into this new season, it is knowing that something will happen. Like, yes. Again, it's kind of what you were building on there, I know, but it's the whole thing of, like, you know, everyone's like, oh, we're going into the new season without a striker, but something will change. We will sign another player. We will sign another player in January. We aren't just here to be sitting ducks anymore and think, I'll be all right. Stick a, it's like a wet paper towel at school, you know, stick that on, it'll be fine. No. We're here to do the full works and sort the team out. And
That's true.
That might not happen straight away this window. Yes, Newcastle tax will be there, but don't underestimate the spirit of this team as well. That was the other thing I was going to say.
Yeah, you're right. And I think that's an important thing. You don't want to just go out and buy any old striker. The spirit of this team is a very, like, beautiful thing.
12th
that
man.
Also needs to be protected. Like, you can't just wang anyone in there who's going to... maybe upset the equilibrium somewhat. Kyle, same question to you. What do you want us to do more of, on or off the pitch, between now and the start of the season?
I would like to bring in a player. I do agree with a lot of what Emil has said, that we need a player just to keep the electricity up. And I think having that unpredictability of a new player will, like, rattle Notts Forest a bit as well. So I think a new player, whether it is a winger or a striker, I'd preferably go for a winger, because I think a marquee winger would really, really enhance that team. Whereas I think Wilson, if he can stay fit, is a very solid centre-forward to have up front. So for me, I would like to say a winger. I don't know who that would be. They've got plenty of time, but even if it's off the bench for 20 minutes... first game of the season, whether it's a close game, whether we're out to say whether we're getting to be 3-0, whatever, I hope not, I hope that isn't the case, but, like, to have a new player in by then would be ideal. With the news of today, with this loan, hopefully that means we can bring in a player or even two. Like you say, they don't sit on the laurels, this regime. there was a problem against Cambridge. They brought in Chris Wood. They fixed the problem until Callum Wilson came back. So I think that, Emil says, totally agree. They will do something. There is something in the pipeline. It's not just, oh, Steve Bruce is going to keep we ticking along until someone finally does something.
Thing to remember with that as well, Kyle, is with Chris Wood. I know I'm not having a go at him here, but Chris Wood did not keep us up with his goals either. So it wasn't the fact that we needed a striker. Yes, okay, Chris Wood was there, did his job, but other players are able to do the goods. And we're in a Premier League where, and this was mentioned on last week's transfer chat, the traditional striker is not the person that wins your games anymore. It is your attacking midfielders and your midfielders who can score goals. And obviously Newcastle's defence is a huge asset, especially given the fact that we are going to hopefully feel the full force of having Trippier there for an extended period. That's massive.
God, I can't wait.
I can't wait for that as well. I'm forgetting about it. I almost forgot about Kieran Trippier today. And I was like, I'm excited to get a bit more of that.
It's kind of nice to forget about Kieran Trippier because then you get to remember Kieran Trippier.
Exactly.
And then you get to remember and be like, oh, yeah, that's so good.
free kicks from Trippier. The heads of Sven Botman and Dan Byrne, if they're both playing. Matt Target can clearly score Cissé goals, as we saw on that that one. And look, we thought Bruno was going to come in and not score any goals, and he managed to be more than instrumental in those final games. So I'm just thinking, like, again, someone said, like, oh, look at this front three going into the game. I can't believe we're having the same front three. Yeah, but you've got a front three with the backup of that powerhouse behind you and the rest. It's good. We're in a good position.
We're in a great position.
Nick Pope will score. Come on.
Look. One absolutely massive goal kick. I would like to see us kind of just, continue this momentum. Pre-season, losing in pre-season, that it doesn't dent our confidence. That's what they're there for. These games are to get time on the pitch, time together, against opposition, so that you're learning how you're moving, how you're learning to anticipate your teammates. That is what they're there for, and that is what Eddie Howe's doing with this team. So I just want to see more partnerships being built, more fun being had. It is such a joy to watch this team now because they are having fun with what they're doing. And I can't wait for the preseason games this weekend. I'm going to Atalanta on Friday night. And then I'll be at Forest next Saturday. So I'm just buzzing for that. Can't wait for it. And with that happy, happy note, when I started on such a negative one, I will end it there. Thank you so much, Kyle. Thank you so much, Emil, for joining me this evening. Thank you to you guys for listening. Loads more on our Patreon. More free pods coming at you next week as well. Do consider joining us for our live event, pre-season warm-up, excitement party, I guess. And maybe I'll cut that out. Thank you again for listening. Take care.